And welcome to another episode of Swimming with the Fish. I am Crutch, and I am so very pleased to be here once again with the Chief and Lagoon as we move into the further adventures of our lovely podcast in its eighth season now in 2024. Chief, how are you this evening, sir?
I am once again eating.
Yes. I got that all in one breath. There you go.
Isn't that kind of always true, Chief? Yeah. Okay. I'm not being critical. Just saying.
In other news, water is wet.
Bill, yep. Bill 11.
That's right. Phil-em. We have Phil-em?
Phil-em.
Phil-em. Phil-em is wet.
People don't even know Phil-em's what film is anymore.
I know, really. This, you can't do that film at 11. What's film?
I have an SLR camera with a ton of lenses.
You have to explain what SLR is, sir.
Single lens reflex. It means when you look through the viewfinder, you're looking through the lens.
Exactly. As opposed to the old days where you had your own little peephole and you hoped that's what the lens was catching.
And it was close, but no cigar. And it is a Canon AE-1 program. And I must have 6 or 7 lenses, tripod, the whole deal. I am willing to give it to someone. I can't give it away. You know why?
Why?
It uses film.
Ah, and there's no film to put in it.
Well, you can still probably buy film, right? You could still buy film, but the young people I talk to look at me, cock their head sideways, like a dog who's trying to understand you, and then they're not interested.
This dovetails very nicely into an experience I had last week. My wife's niece came over for a visit, and we had recently been having some problems with the house phone. And as a good engineer, I always...
Were you throwing things around again?
No. Actually, it was outside wiring that had completely gone awry. And just leave it at that. That had to be fixed. But the problem was we were unable to use the landline, which is not that big a deal since we both have cell phones. However, my mother-in-law likes to call on the landline. She couldn't get a hold of us. She was upset, so we got it fixed because that's how I roll. Anyway, in order to test, because I didn't know whether or not it was the line or my phone, I pulled out my other phone. My other phone, ladies and gentlemen, is a rotary dial phone that weighs about, 11 pounds. Made of that nice black enamel stuff, you know?
Where again, the handset. Again. Melted down bowling balls.
Yeah, pretty much. It's awesome.
Does it say Western Electric on it? Because, man, those were something.
I'd have to go look at it. It's somewhere around here right now. But here's the funny thing. That phone probably hasn't been plugged into an outlet in 20 years. I plugged it in. I heard the same thing. So I was guessing the odds of both of these phones going south, probably pretty low. We got the line fixed. She comes over and she sees this phone sitting next to my house phone. And she's like, what is that? Now she's 30 years old. And I said, it's a phone. And she just starts poking at it. And I'm like, no, that's not how that works. You have to stick your finger and then you turn your finger till it hits the little metal. And then you pull your finger out and it goes. And oh, look, that was 6. There you go. As we all know, people our age know how phones work.
Did she ask who the guy was on the other end going,
Well, here's the funny thing is, I plugged it into the wall, and I proceeded to call her on her cell phone, and I haven't used this phone in probably 20 years. Sounded just fine. The call went right through. She goes, how is that working? I said, because the brand new digital phone system we all love and still supports pulse dialing, which is an amazing thing.
And provides all the voltage to make that equipment work.
Yeah, there's no power for it, right?
It's got to provide 18 volts so that you get that.
And then I hung it up and I had her, I said, call me back. And she heard the ring and she goes, that's the ring that you could pick as your ring. I'm like, that's why they let you pick that ring, because it used to be the ring everybody had.
That's right. Everybody had. There was no pick a ringtone.
No.
That was it.
You could pick louder or softer, which is about it.
Yeah. Do you know how many volts the ring voltage is when a call came in?
I think it's 50.
I think it's 92.
That would explain it. And I say that because I was waiting for the phone guy to show up at my apartment one time and just happened to be touching the wires to my tongue when he was testing the line. And
oh, that's a bad idea, my friend.
It was a very, it shot me across the room. Yeah, I was in a lot of pain. I had a little burn mark on my tongue. Yeah, because I'm an idiot.
When we had those, when I was a dispatcher, you know, for 911 before they had 911.
Yes.
Yeah, you had to call 875-5454 in my town.
Do you remember TI-41212?
That was for time.
And W-61212?
Yeah. That was. And actually, you could dial any four of the last digits.
Yes, yes.
Because they could afford to waste a whole exchange on that.
Do you remember any of this, Chief?
He does not. I'll call it.
You've used a rotary phone, correct, Chief?
I actually had an authentic prison phone, which does rotary.
A prison phone?
Wait, wow.
I didn't think a prison phone had a dial. You know, wasn't that a call in only?
No, back in the days of questionable activity, we went dumpster diving at a prison facility so that we could get the equipment that they'd use in the off chance that we were there and we needed to send messages out. Mm-hmm. We were trying to reverse engineer and see how we could use it because, you know, you would be able to do tap tones in order to do things. So we were figuring that out. So, yes.
And all you had to do on a payphone was ground it out so that it would, you know, give you a dial tone.
Yeah. It was funny when the tone phones, you know, when the tones came out, I had a friend of mine who had a synthesizer and he figured out the combination of tones for each number. And he would just hold the phone to the speaker and he would use his synthesizer to dial calls.
9600.
Yeah, buddy. There you go.
Yep. Yep. But so I was saying, when I was a dispatcher back in those days, we had a Lily Tomlin style switchboard.
Oh my goodness.
They're called a PBX, but that's what we had. And I learned to use it as part of the job. So it's funny when we go into, yeah. And when I go into like museums and stuff and they have one, I sit down at it and go, I know how this works. See, the trunk lines come in here and you plug the left-hand part of the cable in there when it lights up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talk over your headset. And then when you want to send it to Mr. Crutch over in his office,
mm-hmm.
you take the right-hand cable and you plug it into the extension.
Right.
That's his office. And you push the little button and that sends the ring voltage down that line and rings the bell in his office. And you go, call for you, Mr. Crutch.
Thank you.
And you push the little button in on the pair and thank you, Mrs. O'Wiggins. That's what you need to say.
Mrs. O'Wiggins. Now, here's the question. Once I pick up the phone, can you still hear the call?
Not if I push the button in on the pair and twist it. Then it's private. If I neglect to twist it, then yeah, but you'll hear me breathing through the headset.
Yeah. Darth Vader.
Sack phone. Well, what we used to do to new guys, see, we would have taught you what you learned on your own.
Mm.
Because when a call would come in, I'd listen to it and I'd reach over for the left-hand cable and I'd hand it to you and I'd say, here, hold this. And you'd hold it and I'd mash the ring button.
Nice.
And you'd yell, golly.
Well,
and learn not to trust me.
Note to self, Coon is untrustworthy.
It's a shameful lesson to learn.
It's a shameful lesson to learn. Yes.
Yeah. We would have somebody call in, you know, and then I'd talk on the headset to him and go, thank you very much. He's nursing his hand right now. Yes. Yes. My goodness. It was funny. He did say golly. Yes.
Good times.
It was generally followed by, you know, comments about my parentage.
Right. Because that's what we roll.
That's how we do it. So everybody have a good couple of weeks?
No.
I'm sorry.
I did. Well, yes, and I wish I had been spending that time with you, because that was a plan that went completely down the tidy bowl of history.
And although I'm delighted at the outcome, meaning that you are not seriously ill.
No, I am not. I was in bad enough shape not to travel, but I am on the road to recovery, and I have probably half of my prescription left, and all is fine, and life is moving forward.
But you couldn't come with me to Podfest, so I had to go and spread charisma on my own.
Yes, you did. And can you tell us how that went?
So let's know
what Podfest is. Go tell them what Podfest is.
Well, thank you, Crutch.
Okay.
Podfest is an annual gathering of podcasters, some like ourselves and some not so much like ourselves, where we get together and talk about all things podcasting, because much of the younger generation, Chief Sage and younger, think they're going to get fabulously wealthy doing podcasting. They are very disappointed.
Chief's age and older are fully aware of the lack of funding that will come.
That's exactly what I meant to say. I did not mean to include you in the ones who think they're going to get wealthy.
No, it'd be like...
If it sounded like that, I apologize.
Ogryn, Goonchild, that age.
Yeah.
Age.
Yeah, yeah, because that was every...
It requires work. Goonchild may have narrowly missed that, but the Ogryn... Like, what is the least I can do? All right, that's my...
That appears to be whenever anyone from the stage said, don't quit your day job to start doing podcasting full time, groans occurred. And you know, it was almost
Joe
a riot.
Rogan, but Joe Rogan. Yeah.
Right. There is one Joe Rogan. They're like the music industry. You have some superstars, but they're rare.
Right. So, like, if you take all of the money generated by people in podcasting, and you include Joe Rogan, and you divide it by the number of people in podcasting, it's a pretty decent living. But the problem is, that's the problem with averages.
Yeah, one guy's getting it all. I mean, okay, so look, let's talk about the good things. The people and the community that form this particular conference, they're wonderful. They are flat out wonderful. They even, if you're an introvert and you're there, they go out of their way to make you feel comfortable and say, you know, you have to interact with us.
That's right.
And that was true from day one when I had to figure out how to help Crutch with this ticket, which he couldn't use.
Right.
You know, and to a person, they were like, I am so sorry. Is there anything we can do? Is he here? In the area, you know, do you need some help finding a doctor or some services for him? No, you know, and we worked it out fairly easily.
I'm going to be famous next year, aren't I?
Yep.
That's the guy that couldn't make it last year.
You're assuming there is a next year. That's some big assumption.
Provided there is... You know, so question number two, would I go again? Yes, if I was going with one or both of you. Would I go again myself? I'm not sure.
Okay.
The talks and training and stuff were you know, they went everywhere. The ones that were good were very good. There were some surprising ones. Like, you know who the most entertaining speaker was?
You.
Not Dr. Drew.
Really?
Did you listen to Dr. Drew?
I did, and he was terrific. But he wasn't the guy I enjoyed the most. The people I enjoyed the most was a guy who started with one podcast and now has four. And he does all of the podcasts in support of the wholesale produce industry. I know.
That's
one, right?
Heck of a niche market.
You know, so he now charges people to come and speak at conventions for podcasting. How much you think for one appearance? And you get, you know, he'll do a live broadcast from your event, and you'll get mentions on several of the podcasts. Depending on how much you want to pay, you might get a guest spot as well.
All right, my pinky is in my corner of my mouth. and I've shaved my head, and I'm going to say $1 million.
Try again.
I don't know how much, sir.
$16,000.
That's not shabby.
No, but that's also not making money off of podcasting. That's making money off the reputation he built for podcasting.
Right.
You know, and he's making money in getting advertisers because there's nobody in the produce industry that can kind of spread the word about new things that are going on. I mean, he's got... He kind of is. And he's, you know, he's very charismatic. He's a very good speaker. I can see why he is successful on the shows he's on. But he's got, you know, I don't remember what the four shows are, but one was like the history of different vegetables. He's got a guy who's into that. He put him on the air, made a podcast, and all of the human interest stuff goes through that podcast.
Mm-hmm.
People who are using their podcast to further their business or a business are doing well.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
People who are providing support to other podcasters, like not everyone would know how to do what we do on our own. By the way, most people don't do what we do where we do it all.
Oh, really?
Well, actually Crutch pretty much does it all now.
Hey, the Crutch was given help for certain things to make it easier.
You, sir, created it all. Crutch uses it. I write the commercials and just kind of show up.
And now you know the backstage secrets.
Yeah, but I mean, there are podcasters that don't know how to do what we do. And we could set up a business helping them. Well, we'll, you know, there are companies that you can pay. I had dinner, by the way, with Darth Gator. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how much a month it costs. He runs 2.5 podcasts right now.
Really?
Yeah. And he said $60 a month for using one of these services. You know, like Podbean or something like that, that you'll push to them. Hello. And
that would be him calling you right now. It was $59.95.
Yeah, you see, this is what happens when you start outing people.
Yeah.
Like, I need to know right now.
But we
caller standing by.
I did figure out how to get callers in. Oh. The equipment will only cost us $600. I want you to think about that. Do you know what that used to cost, like at a radio station, to get that working?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Tens of thousands, and we're talking $600, and that was at the show. I could probably get a used one cheaper. But it all works on you. You link a cell phone into your mixer panel, and now you can take calls. Bada bing, bada boom. I mean, honestly, I learned a lot. I met a lot of nice people, including Dan Collins. Dan and I were talking. He's also a fellow big guy.
Mm.
Like he's taller than me. He's about the height of what I imagine the tall Ogryn is right now. Big dude.
Tall Ogryn with his hair up equals 6'6 now.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Wow.
So I'm talking to Dan, where are you from? He says, Connecticut. No kidding, then you're making money? And he is doing the technical work for many podcasts in his area. You know where he's from? The town next door.
Because you're really excited about that he's somewhere near where you grew up.
Yeah, the town next door. Which is in the middle of nowhere, okay?
Wait a second. I thought your town was in the middle of nowhere. Is there more than one nowhere in Connecticut?
This is next to nowhere, yeah.
Okay.
It's the big city, and you would not be impressed.
I swear I'm going to go somewhere and establish a city called Nowhere. And then I'm going to just stand in the middle of it and take a picture.
I'll take you there. I'm sure the Yankee Swamp Fox would be happy to put us up, let us sleep in his living room.
Is that the middle of nowhere?
And I'll show you where I grew up, and it won't take us long. I'm not like, belittling the place. I'm not belittling the place I grew up. It's a wonderful place.
Mm-hmm. It's just
not, but it's not what you call the hopping center of the universe.
All right. Well, I gave you the location of a bait shop, which is in the middle of nowhere.
Is that like nowhere, Michigan?
Nowhere.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
Wow, this is coordinates and everything. Holy cow. There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Because people have already thought of that. They're working on it.
Top people.
Well, yeah. Top people. So, you know my only complaint about the PodFest? They had parties on several nights. I went to the first one, and you kind of had to be in a clique to get anywhere at these parties. Maybe I didn't stay long enough.
Yeah, because I'm sure your level of charisma, just by me hanging out with you, I was able to get charisma. And, you know, just my stats increased. I guess it was a passive ability that you have, so it was just rubbing off on the party. But I'm sure that you just hanging around, people would have come up to you and then just invited you into their group.
They would have left their group and joined him.
But I had so many people that I was meeting during the course of the day at the convention that I didn't need any more of that in the evening. So I spent the evening whining and dining the hurricane.
Well, there you go. So it was...
Which
was a plus.
Yeah, it worked out very well. And I get to deduct... Well, we get to deduct all of the things, a portion of everything I spent.
It's always nice when you can do that.
Yeah. Everything's cheaper when you get a deduction. I met two young men who are in their gap year from high school out of Keene, New Hampshire, running a podcast up there. And I have all their names, so we're going to be talking to these folks. These guys are all potential guests, too. And I'm sorry that I don't have my phone with me, so I cannot get you their name. But I met one of the talks was done by three sisters who have a podcast about caregiving. They've all been caregiving to their mom for a number of years, and one of the sisters' husband is in chemo now, getting better, but she's dealing with that as well.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I know you can hear me typing, but rumbling around. Shut up.
Those pierogi stained fingers of yours.
It is, man. You know, what did you say?
How hard is it for you to hit a single key with those big old sausages?
It's not easy, man. It's just not easy being me.
I picture, have you guys have seen the movie The Incredibles?
Yep.
Okay. Have you ever seen Mr. Incredible in his office? He's like,
oh, yeah.
He's in his tiny little cubicle and he's trying to type on his keyboard. That's me. That's me looking at the goon. Yeah. Let's see if I can find that picture for everybody. No.
But
these ladies, by the way, were the female equivalent of us. The oldest sister who did most of the talking said, yeah, I'm the one who's kind of bad tempered and swears a lot on the air. And I went, I'm home. I moved right up to the front row after that.
There were rows? Were they? You being a person of color. You know,
good point.
They really let that happen?
Let me move up. They did. They did. This is, this is a youngish crowd, so it was okay. They were going to be nice to the man with the wisdom highlights.
Ooh, is that what you call him now?
That's what I called him. They like that, by the way.
Wisdom.
How young were they?
I would say that there was a big segment in the 20 to 30, 35 year old. Then the next biggest segment was, Crutch and I and older with a smattering of folks your age.
Chief. A smattering.
Smattering. Fancy words tonight.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have to get my thesaurus out.
What's another word
for thesaurus?
I have to hit him now. Well, but something that I found interesting that has nothing to do with the Florida stuff. So I'll wait until you're done, because I will not hijack the whole conversation like some folks do.
I like to think that I have been remarkably respectful, and still I get flamed, but that's okay. You know, some people are put on this earth to be the whipping.
I didn't even really say anything. Someone seems to be outing themselves.
No, I'm merely going with statistics, my friend. Statistics.
You know what Mark Twain said about that.
Yes, lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Exactly.
Please, the goon continues.
I will get the actual names for all of these podcasts, and we'll give them a shout out.
Oh, absolutely. I want to include links and everything for a weekend.
I enjoyed every single person that I met. I got a demonstration of Dolby Atmos, because they want podcasters to encode in Atmos now. And they took a Tesla Model X. And as they said, well, we ripped out all of the audio that's in it, thus voiding the warranty. And we put in our Dolby Atmos system, and it was spectacular. They did a portion of an audiobook that is Oliver, you know, the Dickens book, so set in Victorian London.
Mm-hmm.
You'd swear to God you were there.
Okay, so Atmos isn't a format like MP3. It's an application for building audio files.
Atmos is an encoding when it's decoded, it gives you surround sound without having multiple speakers and special equipment.
Wow.
All you need is the Atmos decoder. And Andy is like, well, we're in some cars now. And he mentioned Mercedes, and I went, what year? And he goes, the newest ones. I went, okay, well, never mind then. And he goes, well, what year is your Mercedes? I go, which one? Because
wow.
You pull out your pinky ring and you adjust it on your finger.
Exactly.
Did you tell him about the diamond on your Mercedes? Did you tell
no
mileage?
No, because Mercedes are timeless. They're mileage-less.
Oh, they're not mileage-less. They have all the mileage are belong to them.
You know, my one Hurricane's current car has much less than 200,000 miles.
What a remarkable phrase.
Only 113,000 miles. It's by far my youngest car in the Goon Fleet. You're just jealous.
No. I appreciate and am completely in awe of your ability to retrofit modern day technology into these antique beasts.
It's not like you have to crank start any of them.
Just barely. Like if you'd have been a couple years earlier, that hole would have been there.
No, I mean, come on. The oldest one is only 1999.
It's not even this millennium.
The one thing he can say is when he gets his vehicles, they have all the bolts.
You know, well, that's true too.
You know, that's right. I don't take them to the dealer because they don't know how to fix them anymore.
Well, that's pretty obvious in my case. Holy crap.
Although,
I should really be charging them for the bolts. I got to find the bolts, and I want, you promised me 8. I had 3.
And then let's go to the other part of the show, and then I'll shut up, okay?
We have another person.
You know where I stayed. I didn't stay at the Podfest.
No, because you're a super duper highfalutin Disney timeshare owner thing.
Disney Vacation Club. Yes, indeed.
You had used some sweet digs.
So, yes, I sent you, and you can send that picture if you still have it.
Okay.
The first night we were, as you recall, the first night we were staying at a different resort than where we were going to be most of the time. Mm-hmm. And Hurricane dropped me off at noon or sometime in the afternoon at the Podfest and spent the rest of the day waiting in the lobby of the resort for our room to be ready.
That is not a fun day.
She was not happy when 6:30 they still didn't have it.
Whoa, that's crazy.
But they felt bad about it.
Well, that
because she wasn't a jerk. She wasn't a jerk to them. And instead of the room we ordered, which was it's basically a two-bedroom villa. Mm-hmm. They said, since you're only here for one night, we got the grand villa, housekeeping. Fixed up a grand villa, and that's what you're going to have. And the first thing I noticed when I walked in, she came to get me, and I walked in was, I went, honey, we've been, 20 years, we've been members of this. We've never had a stairway to go to the upstairs before.
There what?
Because there's never been an upstairs.
Your room had an upstairs?
Yeah, the great room was a two-story area with an 85-inch television. Cool. Plenty of couches, four bedrooms plus the master.
Wow.
Four full baths.
So when you took that picture, were you on the second level looking down? Because
one of them I was, yeah.
Hurricane looked
like
a little kid.
Yeah, she was sitting on the one where she's sitting on a couch in the corner. Yeah, I was upstairs on the second floor looking out.
Nice.
And I mean, there were just the two of us. And they're like, we don't care, enjoy. And we rattled around like a BB in a boxcar.
Just running around, causing mayhem.
Exactly. Mayhem. Exactly. And then we had the overwater bungalow at the Polynesian.
Right.
Which wasn't for 12, it was for 8.
Well,
but it was still huge.
Right.
You would have had your own bedroom and your own bath. You know, the only thing about that was it had a pump that, because it's out over the water, they have to drain all the water using a pump.
Mm-hmm.
To put it into the sewer system. And whenever that would go off, it would shake the whole bungalow. The first time it happened, I'm like, what's that?
We're having a sea quake.
And I call them and they go, you heard the pump.
Wow.
Yeah, they all do that. Don't worry about it. It's fine. So that was very nice. And we had our own balcony where we, every night, watch the fireworks at the Magic Kingdom with the sound piped in. No crowds, no nothing. In fact, we even treated Darth Gator.
Wow. So he would have been...
He wanted to have dinner with us, so he had it with us at the Polynesian. Mm-hmm. And I said, do you want to go back to the 90s dance party? And he goes, well, how's the Podfest going? I go, I don't think the party's the place to be. And he goes, let's go see your bungalow. I haven't seen one of these. Nice. And I'm like, okay. And so it was tremendous. And then, what always happens, hurricanes, one of her clients called and said, we need you on Tuesday. Well, I was planning on leaving Monday and driving Monday and Tuesday to get home.
Right.
So two things happened. The client called. I put her on a plane. I guess we knew that before we left, correct?
Right.
But, and I got up and I drove her to the airport. A little more on that later. And then I went back and packed the car. And my cousin had called me, one of the cousins that I just saw up there in Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
and said, by chance, I'm coming in for a conference the day you're leaving. can you stay an extra day and we'll have dinner? I know a great sushi place in Orlando. Well, ring-a-ding-ding, I'm in.
You like sushi?
I do. I love any kind of seafood, and Hurricane does not. So the opportunity to have seafood is one I never turn down. And Hurricane got me at a one-bedroom at a third resort, the Contemporary. And only for one night again, but that's okay. You know, and my thought was, well, I'm going to need something to do for that day, and a theme park's probably too much to do while I'm waiting for the room to be ready.
Right.
So I'll go to a water park. I mean, it's half the cost, and 3-4 hours, I'm done, right?
Yep.
And plus, they have places where you can change.
Did you bring a bathing suit?
Yeah. Yeah, it was 85. It was 85 most of the days.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk outside in shorts and a t-shirt on Monday to take a Hurricane to the airport about 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
39 degrees.
Ooh, ooh, whoa.
Little dancing happened.
Brisk. Brisk.
Yeah. At 7 in the morning, my neighbors heard, what the hell is this?
That's a... So she does not approve of the attire, is what you're saying. It was not.
And remember, I had a ticket to go to a water park. Yeah. So I came back and finished packing the car and said, I have nothing to lose. I'm going to go talk to them. And I walk in and I go, I change into, you know, something that was more appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
I walk up and there is a young woman who is earning her years, meaning she's there on the college program and she's doing her training. And I say, I have a ticket to the water park today, but I'm not that hardy. I'm not from Canada. I'm not going to go. Do I just need to eat the cost of the ticket, or could I upgrade to a theme park ticket and just pay you the difference? And the young lady says, certainly, sir, we can do that. That'd be just fine. Here, let me work it out for you. And she starts to do just that, mm-hmm. and it doesn't work for some reason. Mm-hmm. I noticed that she got the character Stitch on her screen, and I went, uh-oh, Stitch is bad. She goes, yeah, IT's have been having problems lately.
Ruh-roh.
And she says, let me go get my supervisor. And the supervisor comes over. They don't make me wait very long, a couple of minutes.
Mm.
And he comes over. He goes, I'm so sorry, sir. We cannot get IT to work, and we don't want you to have to wait. So we're comping you a theme park ticket. I've refunded the price of your other ticket, and you can enjoy whatever park you want today on us.
Well, like I said, you know, 20-plus charisma. I mean,
he's got a 20-side die that just has 20s on it.
I thought of both of you immediately. I knew that you would say that when I told you this story. And I said, well, if you're going to be that way about it, I'm going to have breakfast here at the hotel before I go.
Oh, we're going to comp that as well. In fact, why don't you have a lobster sandwich while you're at it?
So I went to the movie theme park, Hollywood Studios.
Oh, okay.
And did several of the Star Wars rides because they have single riders, and I was a single rider that day.
It's okay.
And I walked on. I walked on to the Millennium Falcon ride. It took literally, it said 110 minutes to wait in line. I go into single rider. 5 minutes later, I'm in the Falcon.
Huh. So was it, did you know how Moses felt? Did you just walk up and outstretch your hand? And
the crowd parted.
I just stamped my staff on the ground and people moved. It's amazing.
Have you been a beard since the last time I saw you?
No.
Something I'm wearing to him is Physic in The Princess Bride.
So yes, I had a wonderful time when I was supposed to be having a wonderful time. I saw my cousin. We had a wonderful meal. I found a young man who's just about the right age for Darth Gator's daughter. I think they even went to the same high school. I have to call them and tell them.
No, plain.
And I know where.
Plain. But what else did you get? Did you detail someone's car while you were at it? I mean,
You know, if I'd have had my detail stuff, we probably could have done that. And then my friends from Charleston called and said, when you're driving home, why don't you stay in Charleston with us and have dinner with us? So I did, and that didn't quite work out because the days sort of got, we confused what day I was going to be there. So the next day I got up and I had what remaining food I had stored up with Hurricane for breakfast. And I packed the car and I took my Bucky's travel mug and filled it from my coffee pot in my room.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove to Bucky's.
Bucky's.
And I got gas and I went in and they have something called a raspberry cookie bar. It's basically sugar with raspberry jam on top and more sugar toasted on top of that.
Perfect for those folks who might be suffering from type 1 or type 2 diabetes.
You know, hey, my doctor wasn't there. By the way, I did not take my sugar at all while I was on vacation. It's like, I don't think I need to know.
That's right. The shock of the number would have killed him.
There's just no sense looking at bad news.
So I'm guessing you didn't watch any football.
I did not, but I understand you did.
I have officially given up on football. I am now in the Mr. Browning School of Yay Sports. And
wow.
Yeah, no, they broke my heart, and I'm now convinced it's all set up. And I'll tell you who convinced me. I have a coworker, and she is 19 years old and a big Taylor Swift fan. She's also a big Baltimore Ravens fan, so she's kind of like torn last week. As you might imagine, the Ravens were playing the Chiefs, and of course, Taylor Swift is dating one of the Kansas City Chief players. And she said, no, I knew we were going to lose. And I'm like, how? She goes, well, because Taylor Swift has generated over $330 million of additional revenue for the NFL. There was no way Taylor Swift was not going to be at the Super Bowl. And I went, you're brilliant in your youth. So I am convinced now that the NFL is no more real than the WWE. But the only difference is...
Wait.
At least...
Wait. What?
They're in entertainment. What? But...
What do you mean it's not real?
Wrestling's not real.
They throw each other to the floor.
The gravity is real.
When I saw the ball bounce off the ground into the guy's hand and they said that fair catch, I was like, even though it was the Chiefs who has been my team, I was like, yep, fix is in.
Yeah, the fix is in. So a bold prediction from one former NFL fan, I predict what? Chiefs will win the Super Bowl next Sunday. And we'll be able to discuss it next Monday, and we'll find out whether or not it was accurate.
Will you think Taylor's going to perform some devil spell or something like that?
I think she already has.
Yeah. I mean, if you saw the Eras Tour, that's what was going on.
Yeah. If the lights go out in the skybox, you'll just see those two little red pinpoints. Yeah.
That's what they used to do at Boston Garden when the opposing team had the ball. The lights would go off.
All's fair in basketball, apparently.
And during hockey, they would have this fog that would appear over the ice when the opposing team was winning. True stories, man. I mean, this really happened.
As a former Washington Redskins fan, I can tell you with certainty that back in the days in the 80s of Joe Theismann and the Diesel. What is his name?
The
running back.
Yes.
The one who had the run-in with the Supreme Court Justice. Riggins, John Riggins. There we go.
Yes.
Brain working. Woo-hoo. So a common occurrence was... that just prior to the opposing team trying to kick a field goal, there's a set of doors at either end of the field down you know, down where the players run in and out. And if you open them both simultaneously, there's a large whoosh of air that'll come through the stadium. And enough to change the trajectory of a ball attempting to be placed between field goal posts. But, you know, who's to say? But
who,
it's all
who
fake.
Can say that that would have happened?
It's all fake. And I'm done.
So you're gonna start betting on it then, if you can figure out which way it's gonna go?
Well, I, you know, but the problem is, you know, putting money on Kansas City at this point, you know, you bet three, you earn two. The odds are so crappy. So
I'll bet you could do worse than that.
I do worse than that every week.
Yeah, I would, you know, just saying.
Actually, you know what? I should bet on the Chiefs and then they would lose. And then that would be my strike against the infernal one. I'm just saying.
And we'll know whether Catholicism or witchcraft is more powerful. We already know.
Or my ability is a cooler. Have you ever seen that movie, The Cooler?
Yes.
We've discussed it.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
While Lagoon was getting his son and Crutch was lamenting the sports of yay, over here, many people for the first time got to see a portion of Army of Darkness.
I'm thinking you're talking about The Border?
No, I'm talking about the actual show.
No. Oh, okay.
The movie, the 1992 movie, because we were having, I have a high school friend, and he somehow lost his mind. He is Catholic. His brother is actually a priest at the Vatican.
Wow.
He runs a publication for the Vatican.
Hmm.
And he was defending Pachamama, saying that those who do not understand, because, you know, in the areas where they had all these traditions and stuff, you know, they didn't understand that you can't bring. Whatever the case is, he was saying going against him or saying that this person is bad because they're doing that is racist.
Uh-huh.
So in Army of Darkness, when he can't remember the words, do you remember what he was uttering?
No.
He was saying.
Been a long time. What was it?
Goon, do you remember?
No, I do not.
So he says, Klaatu Barada, and then he goes, it's an N-word. It's definitely an N-word.
Nikto.
Yes. Klaatu Barada Nikto. That's
what he was supposed to say.
Where's that from, though?
Day of Earth still.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great movie. But it didn't matter because he just said it's an N-word in front of all these people who are watching.
So he didn't say Nikto. He said another N-word. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It's not good.
So, you know, he just kept saying it's an N-word, and then he coughed it through, and they're like, did he say it? So, I thought that was an amazing part of history. Because one of the big things that we were doing over here is we were trying to find the oldest intact, readily visible Bible, which is why I was giving you the Codex Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus.
Vaticanus, yes.
Yes. So people who were over there took pictures of it and created a facsimile, and I got it. And then I opened it up. Mm-hmm. And it's all in Greek.
One of the few languages you don't read yet.
Well, so it was close. It was close to Russian. So I started sounding the thing out, and then I was like, "This isn't this isn't helping whatsoever. So
ChatGPT?
No, that's evil. I didn't even try that. So, but I'm going to now that you mention it.
Thank
you. The big thing was it was before it was translated to Latin.
Right.
That's how old this is.
Right. Yes. I mean, you know, well.
Right, because most of them went from Aramaic to Greek.
New Testament.
Unless they were.
Right. Old Testament was in Hebrew.
Right. Not all of it was in Hebrew.
Well, yeah. I mean, so, most of the stuff they found written of Old Testament was generally in Hebrew, but New Testament is generally in Greek.
It's all Greek to me.
Well, there's that.
So the oldest is Ge'ed, and okay. I can't. That is the older version of Amharic, and unfortunately, that's pictures. So I can't even begin to try to figure it out. But the Greek is there, and the Greek we're looking at Greek versus King James, and
wow.
We're trying to find all the differences. Because one, there are a lot of differences. Two, there are 88 more volumes than what is in the current one. So
was that pre Council of Nicaea?
Yeah,
I guess so.
Right. Yeah. So that includes all the other gospels, and
yeah,
all the other books.
So
do you think it has the Gospel of Bob?
So there was no Bob, but it's different things, because one thing that I did find that was just amazing is that it's not in order at all. So it's basically there's papyrus papers and there's pictures of it. And then, so you have the picture and then you look at it and it's like, man, that's hard to read. And then they have here's the Greek that we've deciphered from this.
Mm-hmm.
And like, oh man, that makes it a lot easier.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we were doing that, and it looks like we're just trying to find out, like, one person in particular was really interested in Revelation 7 and Revelation 14, because it talks about the 144,000, and it's a... No, that would be Jehovah's Witnesses, first of all.
That's right. Oh,
okay.
That's right.
And then second of all...
That would be knock, knock, Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
Knock, Jesus?
Knock, knock, Jesus loves you. Yeah, those are the Jehovah's.
Okay.
I guess the Mormons would be... have a dozen wives, Jesus loves you. I don't know.
It's more like John Smith.
John Smith and Jesus loves you. Yeah.
Well, for some reason, and I don't know if Crutch is to blame for this or not, but my
hello,
my YouTube Shorts feed now contains BYU like on campus stuff. Like, do you like coffee? Have you ever had caffeine? Would you watch an R-rated movie? I'm like, what is this? Oh, this is a Mormon call.
Have I ever had caffeine? Let me think. Yes.
Easier question. When have I not had caffeine?
Yeah. Scant moments ago, in fact.
I believe I just finished swallowing some while you all were talking.
So one of the things, and I know this is in the Bible you have, Crutch. You know, there's the Maccabees.
Yeah.
But do you have Bel and the Dragon?
I do not remember Bel and the Dragon.
Don't think
I thought Bel hung out with the beast.
Yeah, so
nice Disney reference there. I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you, man.
Well, it's B E L, not B E L L E. And there's a Susanna. There's the Epistle of Jeremiah.
I thought you were going to say the Epistle of Jemima, and I'm like, I don't think that's what you think it is.
No. I mean, my aunt's not in here, okay? But there were things like Acts of the Apostle, right?
Mm-hmm. Which sure.
Which apostle was it?
Paul.
Right. Mm-hmm. So if you had the Acts of Barnabas, the Acts of Thomas, the Martyrdom of Matthew, like these are all in the full book of Acts, at least from what was inside here. And then there's also, there's a 3rd Corinthians.
Wait, what?
Yeah, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and then there's 3rd.
They needed a lot of help. They needed a lot of help.
More leather. Right.
Well, so, and they...
Did the third one start, I can see you people still aren't listening?
No.
What part of the first two letters did you not get?
I love you, but you know, this is getting a little long-winded. Even for Paul.
It's on particular papyruses that were found because Mount was it Hermon. Yeah.
Well, I was not like Munster.
Mount Hermon. A hurricane went to a Christian school that was called Northfield Mount Hermon. Hermon.
I thought it was pronounced Hermon, but okay.
You could be right, but that's not how they do it in New England. Yeah,
that'd be crazy.
Yeah, sure. You bet.
They take a lunatic.
So, one last wild thing. So, last book of the Bible is called what?
Revelations.
Revelation.
Yes. That is
the Revelations of St. John, right?
The Revelations of St. John, yeah.
So that is what we call it. What is it in Greek? It is...
Bad crap coming.
Apocalypse of John the Theologian.
Wow, that's a whole title.
Okay, because it's apocalyptic literature, so that makes sense.
Well, yeah. Christianity was an apocalyptic offshoot of Judaism, right? They were talking about, you know, things are going to end when he comes back, because they thought he was coming back really, really soon.
So there was also the apocalypse of Peter, the apocalypse of Moses, and of Ezra. So it's and I haven't gotten to those yet, but I just know it's waiting for me, and it's going to be, and if ChatGPT really can translate it, then holy smoke. Because it is regular text, mm-hmm, to get a book. How big would that book be in size on the hard drive?
A book? You know, like a purchase a book? They're not very big. I mean, a couple megabytes.
Right. So, like, if you were to get the whole Game of Thrones series, just to put it into perspective, for
10, 15 meg tops.
Right. Yeah. So, this is 3 gigs of text.
Okay. You may be asked to pay for that translation, but okay.
Impressive.
Very impressive.
Yep.
Wow.
But there you have it. That's my fun stuff.
Wait, that's fun.
We've had a fun week.
Yeah. And we'll be here next week, folks. There's been a lot to chew on. Please come to the site. There'll be links to pictures and all the other fun stuff that we've talked about. Antique phones. Maybe put a picture of the phone up there so everybody knows what I'm talking about. Especially you.
That would be cool.
Yeah. I will include the link to the middle of nowhere in Oklahoma, because I think everybody should now go visit it. Hats off to Disney for the way they treated the goon and the hurricane, gay team. And we're not going to use any N-words other than nighty-night. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Tonight's episode brought to you in part by Goon Travel Services. Okay, he only goes to one location, but it's his happy place and he can show you how to have fun. Maybe you won't become rich podcasting, but you can still entertain yourself at the House of Mouse. Maybe swimming in January isn't such a good idea, but don't worry. Goon's charisma-enriched service will make it all work out. And crutches, bookmaking, and betting services. If the NFL is fixed, you should have no trouble winning all your money. Current successes in the lottery aside, just saying. Place your bets with Crutch today against the little devil-worshipping singer girl. And Chief's apocalyptic consulting services. He knows the world will end soon, so why not let him guide you? From bunkers to Bibles, he's got what you need. Call him today before it's too late.
Swimming with the Fish is produced by Happy Pole LLC, copyright 2024. All rights reserved.